The Enbridge pipelines beneath the Straits of Mackinac have been in the crosshairs of environmental groups for years. Concerns about the pipelines in the wake of the 2011 Kalamazoo River spill prompted Governor Rick Snyder to create the Michigan Pipeline Safety Advisory Board. This summer, Attorney General Bill Schuette said that the pipelines' days were numbered, but some environmentalists are now worried about another pair of pipelines a little farther south. Two pipelines laid in 1918 currently run underneath the St. Clair River in southeast Michigan. The Texas-based company that owns them applied in 2012 for a permit that allows liquid hydrocarbons, including crude oil, to flow through the pipelines. The company says it has no intention of shipping crude oil through the pipelines, but environmentalists say they want more information. Joining us on the phone to talk about the concerns of environmentalists is Liz Kirkwood. She's an attorney with the advocacy group For Love of Water, or FLO. Liz, welcome to Current State.
Good morning, and thank you.
The company that owns these pipelines, Plains All American Pipelines, first applied for this permit in 2012, but this has only recently started getting pushback from the environmental community. Why is that?
Well, as I understand it, and the facts about these particular pipelines are just unfolding now, is that this is really the first time that that the public has really been aware that there are 98-year-old pipelines in the St. Clair River. And, you know, we've known there's obviously lots of transport of oil and gas, but when there's a transfer of ownership from one company to the next, this is what triggers the presidential permitting process. And the 30-day period came and went, and there really was very little public commenting, and that's really the concern.
So how many pipelines would be covered under this permit?
Well, there are six pipelines that Plains All American has purchased. Four of them are not at issue. There are only two that are issue in this modification of the presidential permit. And these are the 1918 pipelines that were approved under President Woodrow Wilson at the end of World War I.
So who is in charge of the decision to accept or deny the permit? You mentioned a presidential permit here. Does that go all the way to Barack Obama?
It actually is delegated to the Secretary of State, John Kerry, in the State Department.
Wow. And so what criteria does he use to determine whether he's going to accept this or not?
Well, the presidential permit is decided. The State Department needs to, well, excuse me. If a company is transferring an existing permit and it's essentially unchanged from that previous permit, then the State Department processes the presidential permit without the level of, without a NEPA analysis under the National Environmental Protection Act Environmental Review. And the only time that the environmental review process is triggered is if the permit transfer has a potentially significant impact on the quality of the human environment.
Okay. Plains All American Pipeline, that's the Texas company that owns the pipelines, says that all this permit really does is update ownership status after its purchase of the pipelines from Dome Petroleum in 2012 and doesn't change anything about the content of the permit. So if they're not changing anything, then why should there be new concerns about it?
Well, as we understand it, the original permit that was the original presidential permit that Plains applied for in 2012 did not include crude oil. It was just limited to those light liquid hydrocarbons, as you mentioned. And so this modification now is going to extend the authorization to the original contents back in 1918. As we understand it, these pipelines have not been active for many years. And they're 8-inch in diameter, and there was a 5-inch diameter sleeve that was placed on top of it. And there are many, many questions about the integrity of these pipelines and the risk that crude oil poses versus light liquid hydrocarbons is very significant in terms of the emergency response.
So we really don't know much about the conditions of these pipes, do we?
Correct.
And so that creates some concerns. How about government oversight on this? The Department of Environmental Quality, for instance, is there any type of oversight that gives you some reassurance that they wouldn't do anything that would potentially spring a leak in the river?
Well, the jurisdiction is complicated because there's mostly a unified approach for the regulation of the safety and maintenance of these hazardous liquid pipelines and also natural gas pipelines. And under the Department of Transportation, the responsible agency is PHMSA, or the Pipeline Hazardous Material Safety Administration.
Liz? Please continue, Liz.
Yes. What is interesting, though, Kyle, is that the right now the U.S. EPA actually has there's a window still for interagency comments, and so the U.S. EPA can potentially submit additional comments and concerns about the transport and the expansion of the use of crude oil in these pipelines. And the date, as I understand it, is open until April 25th for the EPA and other agencies to comment. But this is at the federal level.
Liz Kirkwood is an environmental attorney and the executive director of the advocacy group FLO. We're talking about a permit request from Plains All American Pipeline. Now, we spoke with Plains yesterday, and they wrote to us that pipelines are one of the safest, most reliable, and most efficient means of transporting crude oil and natural gas liquids. Now, many people in the oil and gas industry point to pipelines as being safer than alternative methods of transport like rail or truck. What's your response to that?
That is absolutely true. But that is not the issue here. The issue is that the public would like to understand what the current status of these pipelines are in terms of, you know, the specific product that is being transported, the integrity of the pipeline, what risks these pipelines pose to human health and the environment. These pipelines, as you know, Kyle, are 25 miles north of the Detroit water intake system at Belle Island, and imagine what the impact of an oil spill could be, south of, south of these pipelines. Now, there are many unanswered questions in terms of the location. If these pipelines are buried underneath the bed of the St. Clair River, that would pose obviously less risk than if these pipelines are exposed. We don't have information about that at this moment. There are a number of signs in the area that say do not anchor. But this is kind of this chemical thoroughfare for many different pipelines. And so kind of unraveling and discerning which pipeline is which is the next task.
A lot of environmentalists point to the age of the pipelines as a cause for concern, but in a statement provided to us yesterday from Plains, they said that while the original pipelines were built in 1918, a smaller pipeline was put inside of those pipes in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. So the 98-year-old pipeline won't be the one holding whatever substance is being transported. Does that change your opinion at all?
It does not change my opinion in terms of evaluating the integrity of the pipeline. What's very interesting is that pipelines, it's difficult to just make general assertions about the integrity of a pipeline just based on age. But some of the materials are better than others. In fact, many of the I'm not a pipeline expert, so I won't get into that. But I should say that the most important issue is just evaluating the integrity of the pipeline and the materials to determine if there are any risks for a pipeline rupture. And that is the type of information that the public is interested in. So assurances are good, but what we really are interested is hard data to evaluate and make informed and smart decisions.
Have you been satisfied with how Republican legislators have acted in this? I know you've gotten support from Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters.
Well, yes, Representative Candace Miller. She and her colleague both authored a letter to the Secretary Kerry, also very concerned about this issue. Michiganders are interested in transparency. We want to know what is in our water, how we can lower that risk, and this process is really critical to it. Representative Candace Miller and Representative Debbie Dingell authored a joint letter on March 1st to Kerry.
Well, very good. Well, Liz Kirkwood is an environmental attorney and the executive director of the Clean Water Advocacy Group FLO. We've been talking about the pushback from environmentalists about a permit for two pipelines below the St. Clair River in southeast Michigan. Liz, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.